Welcome to another message from Brian Nugent, lead pastor at Generations Church. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing and encouragement to your life.
Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I'm starting a new series for January entitled Passion. And when you came in, now this series is going to go for about 4 weeks, and every week, I mean, this Sunday kicks off kind of our 21-day spiritual health emphasis. So when you came in today, you should have received a fasting resource, because the first week of the year, we want to fast and pray. We're going to focus on fasting and prayer, scripture reading, prayer itself, and then encounters with the Holy Spirit. So this is the week that I'm calling the church to fast and pray and seek God. And fasting is not some magical way to get God to do something that he wouldn't normally do. Fasting humbles my heart and makes me more hungry for God. That's what fasting does. And if you fast and don't pray, it's just a long, hungry day. Can I tell you that? So I'm calling you to fast, pray, whatever that means to you. There's some instructions and guidelines in that fasting resource. So whatever that means to you this week, let's seek God and let's pray and let's believe God to do something great in our midst. Luke chapter 13, I'll be to that verse in just a moment. Now, as we come to 13, Luke 11 and 12, Jesus is debating with the Pharisees and with the disciples. He's kind of going back and forth, trying to define what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So with the disciples, man, with the Pharisees, he's very firm as he's drawing those lines of demarcation of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. With the disciples, it's a little more simplistic, so you can read in those chapters back and forth kind of this conversation. So that is where this parable comes up, is in that conversation back and forth with the Pharisees and the disciples. So Luke chapter 13 and verse 6 says, "And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 'For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?' 'Sir,' the man replied, 'leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down.'" So the owner, he bought this land to be an investment, part of his livelihood. And he's trying to figure, what can I do, to provide for myself? Can I, should I use it for sheep? Should I use it for goats? Should I grow crops on it? What should I do? And he comes to the decision that he's going to plant fig trees on this particular vineyard. So, then he takes the seed, because the fig tree takes a while, and he puts it in the soil, and he waters it, and he nurtures it, and he's watching over it, making sure that it's taken care of, because figs were a valuable resource. They were a valuable produce, because the fig tree produced two crops throughout the year. So the first time that the fig crop came, man, they would sell those figs fresh, or if you really wanted to make good money, you pressed it into a fig cake, and you could sell that, and then you kind of dried out the rest of the figs, and you could sell them for a long period of time until, the next fig harvest came, and then you had fresh figs again, you had the fig cakes, and then you could dry the figs again, and man, this fig tree, man, it would bear fruit. I mean, you can make money off this almost year round, and it's a much healthier version than Whataburger. Can I just say that up front? So he's a healthy guy. So he's got this fig tree that he's planted. Now, my question that comes from this, and it's going to be very easy, Why had the fig tree been planted? Very easy answer. Very easy answer. To produce figs. To bear fruit. All right? He was expecting figs. He was expecting a harvest of figs, a continual harvest of figs, something that would, for years and years after the investment, would produce a harvest. Now, all parables have a spiritual truth, and here is the spiritual truth. God is looking for our lives to bear spiritual fruit for Him. All right, that's why we're saved. That's why He saved us. That's why He nurtured us. That's why He helps us to weed things out of our lives. That's why He helps us to prune things so that we can bear more fruit. Because the purpose, the reason that we exist is to bear fruit. Now you see this kind of woven through many passages in the Gospels, but I'm going to just point out a couple. So John 15 says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask what you wish and it shall be done for you." Look at verse 8. "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So it brings glory to God when we live a fruitful and a spiritual life, you know, with fruit and vitality. It also identifies us as a follower and a disciple of Jesus. So look at that last verse. I want to read it again. "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So this morning I'm defining a fruitful life. I'm defining it very simply. It's much more detailed than this, but I'm defining it as passionately loving God and impacting your world. Passionately loving God and impacting your world. And there's much more detail. It's such a very simplistic sentence, but I'll kind of walk some of that out this morning. John the Baptist talked about fruit bearing in his sermon. Look at this. "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." So John the Baptist separates repentance and fruit bearing, and he says, look, I want you not only to experience repentance in your life, but I also want you to grow and bear fruit. Can I just remind you this morning that He did not save us to sit around. He did not redeem us to relax. He did not, we are not chosen to be complacent. He chose us to bear fruit in our life. Now look at verse 7. "So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 'For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?'" Now, the owner of the vineyard, here's something I want you to see. The owner of the vineyard had been very patient. So I want to talk about faithfulness versus fruitfulness. Faithfulness versus fruitfulness. So this was a vineyard. This was part of a business that this owner had. This was not a random fig tree that was growing somewhere. This was a vineyard that was planted for the purpose of producing money. The economic viability of the vineyard depended upon this fig tree producing like the owner, had planned in his mind. It was part of the plan and purpose of this owner as part of the larger plan to produce fruit. So this wasn't some random tree. This was something that had been planted, and the owner was financially dependent upon this particular tree bearing fruit. All right. Now, this tree was wasting precious resources. There's only so much land. There's only so much land. And now you got a tree that's costing him money because he's not bearing fruit at all. Not only that, but how much time had been given, you know, to the gardener who had been working and fertilizing and not seeing any fruit that was coming out of this at all. But he had been very patient. He had waited 3 years, but now it's time to bear fruit. He had waited 3 years, but now it's time to bear fruit. Now let me just talk to you about faithfulness versus fruitfulness, okay? So people start out in their walk with God, and they usually start really well. I mean, when you come to faith the first time, I mean, is there anything better than that just first initial experience? Man, you love Jesus, and man, God's just, you know, doing some great things in your heart. And then what happens, you know, kind of as we progress and move, for some reason, you know, people kind of slow down in their walk with God, and they give way to the temptation of just being faithful and not being fruitful. So, is that the way we want to live our life, with just faithfulness being the minimal requirement and not fruitfulness? So, if you hire an employee, all right, do you want more than just faithfulness? Now, faithfulness is important. That employee, he's on time, he shows up all the time, he's faithful, but he's not very fruitful, okay? So, where are we at here? Let's just say, like, in your marriage, you know, in your marriage, faithfulness is wonderful. But is that all you want out of your marriage, is faithfulness? Is that all you want? Do you ever want to go to a restaurant and eat dinner? Do you ever want to have a date night? Do you ever want to hold hands? Honey, can we have a date night? No, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I don't run around. But that's it. That's it. And that's the way some people, when it comes to their walk with God, they're faithful, but they're not fruitful anymore. Can I just tell you something? That if you start getting in that speed of just faithfulness, you can spiritually die in faithfulness. You can decay in faithfulness. You can atrophy in faithfulness. We get in that habit, and before long, there is stagnation and complacency and mediocrity that happens in our life because we're just faithful. That tree had grown. It had provided shade, but it hadn't provided any fruit. The intended purpose of that fig tree was to produce figs. And for 3 years, you know, nothing had happened. If you've been a follower over 10 years of Jesus, let me just talk to you for a second. I want to tell you this morning that sometimes it's very easy to kind of get in the mode of just faithfulness. I just come to church. I pay my tithes. I don't commit any big sins. We'll let you figure out what big means, but I'm not doing any of the big stuff. And that's just kind of the way we run for a while, you know? But George Barna, he polled some people that had been serving God for a long time, and here's the result. 62% of Christian adults say they're not necessarily happy with where they are in their spiritual life. There's no excitement, there's no joy anymore. There's no vitality. There's no faith anymore. They've kind of slowed down to a routine of just faithfulness. I've kind of seen it all. I've done it all. I go to church and I kind of do my thing. But I want you to know, listen, you can die in that. You can wind up spiritually dead just being faithful. There is something else more than the Lord has in store for you. Now listen, I am a huge college football fan, okay? I love college football. You know the team that I pull for, all right? But I realize where I'm at. So let me just say, as a big college football fan, and I love it and I watch a lot of it, one of the best openings of college football, with the greatest pageantry, all of that occurs right here in Tallahassee at Doak Campbell Stadium. Oh, now I get an applause for that one. All right? So I mean, I love it. I love it. I got a little video here I want to show you. You might even see some familiar faces here. I mean, you just can't beat it. Here's the band. People are flailing their arms around, doing something. They're doing a war chant. Here comes Chief Osceola and Renegade. You hear that? He just kind of paces around, waiting for the right moment to one of the best endings of a beginning of college football. That's pretty good. Okay. That's pretty good. All right. And that's the way people kind of start their journey with Jesus. Man, it is full throttle. It's everything, they're signed up for everything. They don't miss a devotion. They don't miss church. They don't miss a whole lot. But in that same stadium, something else happened in that stadium that makes my point. Let me show you this image here. From the same stadium, you got a shirtless man reading a book. But see, that's how, that's what happens sometimes. And go back to that particular passage. That's what happens sometimes. We start out strong. Amen. Then we just kind of, there's no excitement to it anymore. He's sitting there in the stadium, pulled his shirt off, read a book, and he's known all over the world for it now. But I want to tell you something. If you've been around this for a while, you need to watch. Because if you're not careful, you'll lose the wow. You won't have the wow anymore. The wow of the prayer closet. The wow of the transformation that comes through reading scripture. The excitement that comes from coming to church, having some passion in my heart when it's ready to worship. Some of you have lost the wow. Some of you have lost the wonder. We don't pray for a healing anymore. We don't pray for a miracle anymore. We don't believe for a deliverance anymore. We don't see signs and wonders anymore. We've lost the wow and the wonder. What used to be good news is now old news to us. What used to be a life that was filled with the Holy Spirit is now dried wineskins. What used to be a life that was filled with the power and the presence of God has now decayed and atrophied, and it's all dry bones. If we're not careful, it happens. We just become faithful. We're not bearing fruit. We're just going through the routine. Go to church, pay my tithes. Don't commit any big sins. Hey, at the end of this service, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. I'm gonna call everybody down. I'm just telling you where we're headed. We started in the altar, we're gonna end in the altar. Okay? We're gonna pray. We're gonna start this thing. We wanna see God do something powerful in our midst. Let me tell you, but if you're not careful, you just kind of fall back in faithfulness, and faithfulness is not terrible. Faithfulness is not sin, but faithfulness is not being fruitful either. Tree, I want you to bear fruit. Look what David said out of Psalms 42. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Almighty, with shouts of joy and praises among the festive throng. He's looking back at a time, man, that when he had his heart in tune and in focus with God, but he's not there anymore. He said, I remember how it used to be. The gardener the gardener, when the owner said, cut it down, the gardener said, can I have one more year? Can I have one more opportunity? Can I have one more opportunity? I want to just tell you something. We just cleaned off 2018, and to some of you, it was a great year. It was a year that you loved. To others, you said, good riddance. There's all kinds of complications in 2018. You know, maybe in your spiritual life or in your life, it just wasn't a good year. I just want to tell you, he's going to give you another opportunity, all right? What is in the past is in the past. We can't help that. We can't stop that. We put that under the blood, and we look for one more time that the gardener will stir in our hearts. All right? Now, I love this quote because it's really important if you're kind of in this more faithful than fruitful. A.W. Tozier, I love this. To have found God and still pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. Look at that. Let that soak in for a moment. To have found God, but you still pursue him, is the soul's paradox of love. Because sometimes, man, just finding God is such an overwhelming thing in our life that we love. All right? But we stop the pursuit. We stop the journey. We stop the hunger. We stop the seeking. And after a while, man, we're just dry bones there. You found him, but you stop pursuing him. Can I tell you, your spiritual life is much more than just church attendance and paying your tithes and, you know, and being faithful. There's something else that's beautiful that Jesus wants to do in your life. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit, a fruitful life, passionately loving God and impacting our world. A couple of years ago, a terrible typhoon hit the northern part of the Philippines. Many, you know, 500,000 people were displaced. Man, the humanitarian aid started to pour in. People were, you know, much loss of life and, you know, just people lost their homes. But during that time, Sunday rolled around. That typhoon hit on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and Sunday rolled around. And people were going, well, what are we going to do? It's Sunday. It's church. And here's what they did. They went on to church. They went on to church. Floodwaters, I don't care. Gives me an opportunity to wear my bathing suit to church. I've always wanted to do that anyway. But you know, if it's not perfect, we're not going to go. If they don't have the right sprinkles on my donut, I'm staying home. Listen, God wants to do something fresh and new in our life. God's wanting to stir some of you in a fresh way. God's saying to this church, I want to do something fresh and new and powerful in this church. So, let's live lives with passion. Let's just don't go through the routine. Let's just don't check the boxes. Let's have a life that's filled with passion. Can I say, like if you're, you know, if you're 60 years of age or older, let me just say something to you. Listen to me. Your best days of serving Jesus are not behind you. They're not. Maybe your health is different. Maybe your strength is different. But your relationship with Jesus, your best days aren't behind you. Look at Psalms 92. Because if you're 60 and older, I want you to live a life with passion. Look at this. It says, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. It says when you've been serving God a long time, it doesn't mean you kind of fade in the finish, but God's got something fresh and new for that last season of your life. So this year, let's live lives with passion. Let's don't try to just lean on faithfulness. Let's lean into passion this year. Brent, worship team, you guys can come. So this year, let's bless. Let's live lives of passion. Let's encourage people. Let's compliment. Let's lift up people. Let's enjoy. I mean, if Jesus saved us, there ought to be a smile on our face. There ought to be a joyful demeanor in our hearts, right? Let's flow. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that we'll be sensitive. Let's pray, you know, that we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and that we'll be courageous when He speaks to us. Let's give. You know, leaving behind selfishness, free to give our heart and time to others. Let's mentor. Let's find a young believer, a new believer. Let's find a young couple. Let's pour something in our lives. Let's don't do what we did last year. Let's live lives of passion. Let's serve. Let us find people or ministries and let us connect ourselves to them and let's get our hands dirty and let's cry with someone that has a need. And I promise you, man, that'll spring fruit to your particular life. Let's share. There's no hoarders in the kingdom of God. We share any and all that Jesus gives to us. Let's sow. Let's be generous. Let's believe that when we sow, that in the right time, in the right manner, there's a harvest that's coming back in our way. Let's live lives with passion this year. Let's do it. Let's do it. Moses. He'd seen God do some powerful things. He was there, you know, in the initial, the plagues. He saw it. He saw God's hand. Moses stood and raised his hand and spoke, and he saw the Red Sea divide. Moses saw God's faithfulness through the wilderness, all the miraculous things that Moses saw. And it's at the end of his life, the last chapter of his life, and he asked God one question. One question. He didn't ask him, can I get another miracle? Can I see you do something else fantastic? He said, I want to see your glory. Oh man, I want to know you better. And he had been living his whole life. But yet his last prayer is not a miracle. It's not some resource. It's, God, I want to know you better. I want to see your glory. I want to know you in a way that I've never known you. And the Lord said, you don't even know what you're asking. You don't even know what, you can't even handle what I'm asking. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to cover your eyes and you're just going to see a little glimpse. You're just going to see a little glimpse. I want to tell you this morning, there's more to what we're doing than just going to church. Put a few dollars in the offering. God wants to stir us and do something fresh in our hearts. I don't want to do the minimal. I want to bear fruit. Staff meeting on Wednesday. We got through with all of our kind of getting ready for the weekend. And I said, before you go, I want to give you a challenge. The 2019 at Generations Church will be a historic year. All right? We got 78 good years behind us. Okay? But I want one day in 10 or 12 years, people of this church to go, boy, were you there with the move of 2019? I'm just telling you, I'm not coming for a year just to go through the motions and the routine here. I want to see God do something powerful in our midst. That's one thing. But I want to know Him better. I want to know Him better. I want to know His glory. I want want you to stand. I told you, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask everyone that can or would, you don't have to if you don't want to, no judgment, come around the altar, because I want to pray over you as your pastor. I want to pray over you, and then I'm going to give you a chance to pray, and then we're going to worship together. We're going to do those three things. I'm not going to hold you long, all right? I'm going to pray over you, then I'm going to give you a chance to pray. Start your own year. Say what you want to say to Jesus. If you're a young person, college age or younger, this can be a great year for you. God can move powerfully in your life. That's my prayer for our young adults. Come down as close as you can get. As close as you can get. As close as you can get. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Thank you, Lord. Get as close as you can. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. Because I want to pray for you. Now listen, if 2018's been a terrible year, that's okay, because we're turning the page on it. Okay, we're leaving it behind. Under the blood, it's gone. All right? The gardener said, can I have one more year? Can I have one more opportunity? All right? We're just going to open our hearts up. Okay, Lord, this is my year. This is my year. I'm going to take advantage of this year. I'm not going to waste it. I wasted three. I'm not going to waste another one. Okay? All right, so let me pray over you. Okay? And then I'm going to give you a chance to pray. Then we're going to fill this place with praise this morning. So, Lord, we come before you as very thankful and grateful people. And Lord, our first prayer is over repentance of the past. Lord, if we've been like that tree that hasn't borne fruit, or that has been inconsistent, maybe we've let down some things in our lives. Maybe this past year was a spiritual disaster. Lord, we come and repent, and we pray for forgiveness. We pray for the cleansing power of Jesus. We pray for the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, for a new season. I pray for a new chapter, Lord, that's stirring in our lives. Lord, I pray repentance. Lord, we turn the page. So I pray for a fruitful spiritual life. Lord, not that we just go through the motion and the routine, but Lord, there's fruit that hasn't been born before. Lord, you've put it in our heart. Here's what I want to do. But Lord, we've never allowed that fruit to work its way out. So I pray for a very fruitful spiritual existence. Lord, I pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would shake us. You would stir us. Lord, you would empower us. Lord, I pray for those dry wineskins, Lord, would be filled with fresh wine. I pray, Lord, those dry bones, Lord, that you would speak a new life, a new breath into those dry bones. I pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I pray for health, Lord, for those that need a healing in their life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray over them today. In Jesus' name.
This concludes the message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org.